This is the truest of friends. You know, the best thing we can do now, why don't we talk to him a little bit? Let's talk to our friend before the service. Onward we go, no doubt, no fear. While we're praying, let's remember Brother Eli, for his brother that has passed away. Let's really pray for him. Comfort for the family. Whatever the needs that the Lord puts upon your heart, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the truest of friends unto us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Father, may you bless your word upon this day as we approach unto thee. Father, overshadow us, overshadow our souls once again. Father, let us shut ourselves in with thee, Lord. We thank you for song worship. We thank you, Lord, for the songs of Zion. Father, we thank you for the shout of the king that's in the camp. Father, let it be so in our souls. Let it be a living testimony to each and every one of us. Lord, is our desire. Father, thinking of our brother upon this day, thinking, Lord, of, Father, such a sad story, Lord, to hear somebody passing away. Father, you are the great comforter, Lord. We just call you on the scene. Bless Brother Eli. Bless the family back home. We pray that you just be with them, Lord, that you would use the situation for your glory. Father, you are able to take anything in your hands and bring something good out of it, Lord. Let it be so, we pray. Father, how thankful to see Sister Gloria today, Lord. May you, Father, help us as we dedicate this baby upon this day. today. We thank you for testimonies, Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Bless your people now, Father. Watch over us. Them that aren't here upon this day, please be with them, Lord. Keep them, we ask and pray. And Father, them gathering in like manner, Father, from the north and the south and the east and the west, bless your bride upon this day. Father, let it be a special day, we pray. Father, we give ourselves into your hands. Grant us mercy, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, saints. Let's open our Bible straight away. I had a piece of paper here which had a request for dedication. I don't know if somebody took it. No. It's okay. No problem. We'll read the Bible. The brother will find it. Let's open our Bible. Let's open Luke chapter 17, saints. It's really good to be in his house. I was speaking to Brother Virgus there about before service, and he was just saying how much pressure there's been recently, and it's been incredible pressure the last few weeks. We came today, and the pipe burst, and all that shouldn't have gone in the office went into the office. But it's good. You always know that there's a blessing in store. You know yourself inside of your life when you go through times where there's pressure. The enemy, he's trying his best, but he never succeeds, and we do thank the Lord for that. Just to ask the saints to pray for us. We're heading off this week, going to Israel. We're leaving on Thursday, so if the saints would please keep us in prayer, be away for 2 weekends. Brother Crosby will be with us on the second weekend, so it's 2 weekends from now. So I'm sure there'll be service Saturday and Sunday, and he'll go and preach with Brother Tom as well. So please keep that in prayer. I think it'll be a great blessing as well. And the saints, when they preach here, we do appreciate everybody who preaches. Brother Francois, I do appreciate it. Brother Max. And may the Lord bless and watch over us while we're away. Let's read Luke 17 from 28 to 30. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Let's also open Matthew chapter 27. We know that scripture very well. It's pertaining to our day. Matthew chapter 27. Again, we'll find ourselves in here. We just want to, maybe with different things taking place in this age and the time that we're living in, just try to place where we are. Let's read it from verse 45, Matthew 27. This is Christ on the cross. And we know from the message it's a type of the very season that we're entering into now. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land to the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the saints, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. Wanted to have a look at a topic today. Just maybe to bring some things together. You know, I'm sure the saints know what's going on around the world. Many times you don't come and speak of current events, but I know that saints do get notifications of what's taking place. The thing this week with Brother Donnie Reagan and the message was really something to me, which I thought we should pay attention to. You know, just to, we will speak about a little bit down the way. But to me, there's certain events take place that are birth pains. You know, they're birth pains of what we're entering into its fullness. I remember when our brother was arrested in Iran, remember, and put in prison. And thanks, bro. And he almost he was given the death penalty until the Lord had to deliver him. Now, there's certain events and certain things that transpire in different places, and sometimes we can put them far from us. But sometimes the Lord allows things to come a little bit closer home as well. And it's good to meditate on those things because nothing happens to a believer by chance. The prophet says God is behind every move. And there's a lesson and a principle that he's trying to teach us. And I do believe that it's good for us to fellowship around these things. So I wanted to take the service today maybe in two parts. First part, we take it prophetically, just to try to place where we are prophetically once again, just to try to bring the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together once again to find out where are we, what are we to expect next, now, what are we looking for? You know, there's nothing worse than entering in. You're on a journey somewhere, but you don't really know what's to come next. It's so nice to know what's to come next. We did it at the prayer meeting on Wednesday, speaking about, you know, preparation by prayer. And we saw how Jesus, knowing exactly what he was heading into, he made sure that he was prepared. Although he was the Word, the anointed Word himself, but he wouldn't enter into his temptation when the darkness came upon him and his arrested and his crucifixion without serious prayer. And he took himself and his disciples to Gethsemane, because not only he needed prayer, they needed prayer as well, because they weren't ready for what was to come. And that's why he says, all of you are going to be offended because of me. And he is the anointed Word. And friends, at the end of every dispensation, there comes a time that you're going to get offended with the Word if you're not walking with the Word. Amen. It's going to become costly to associate with the anointed Word. To associate with the Son of Man himself, to walk with him, there's a price to be paid. And that price, at the end of every dispensation, it comes down to the same conclusion every time. And my soul would persuade me we're heading in that direction. My soul would tell me that we need to be careful, saints, that we don't take this message lightly, because God gave us this message for a purpose. And we're going to need this message. Know that song Jimmy Swaggart sings, Jesus now more than ever. Because we're heading into stormy weather. You know, and that's really where we're getting into now. No one puts dates, times. We don't know how God can prolong things out. Like when you spoke of the economies a couple of years back, friends are going to collapse. No, they're getting them to chug along and they're pouring all this money, which they use the magic wand to create, to keep things going. It doesn't matter how long they keep it going. According to prophecy, it's going to collapse. You know, and according to prophecy, friends, there's darkness coming upon this earth. And it's going to come a darkness which is going to press in and squeeze the believers. And we've got to be prepared for that. And we've got to face up to the facts that it's not going to get better. But friends, this noose is going to tighten tighter and tighter and tighter. And we've always spoken of Fox's Book of Martyrs. And we've spoken about things that took place to saints during the ages. But friends, don't put it too far from you. What can come upon you and can come upon me? How deep it goes, how far it goes is in the hands of God. But the prophet definitely told us it's going to come a time they're going to put closed on that door. And you're going to have to worship in other places. And the Bible says it's going to come a boycott. The prophet says it's going to be a union and then it's going to turn into a boycott. And we're going to see that today, that it has to come into that phase. Before there can be a resurrection, before this dispensation of the Gentiles, the seven church ages can completely finish, we've got to come to the condition that it always comes to in this kind of a time. And that's why God visits us first with grace, because he wants to prepare his people for what is to come. But you've got to make sure that you've taken full advantage of that visitation of grace when it comes. Because there's nothing worse than being found unprepared. We were speaking of it the other night with some saints at our house. And we were saying, you know, if you think of those foolish virgins, I don't think there's any feeling that could be worse than what those people felt. Now, when they needed something at that time to kick in on their behalf, they needed that oil to kick in on their behalf, then they found that they didn't have enough oil. I can't think of anything that could be worse. When you get yourself right into that season, that midnight hour, the midnight cry, right there, when you're needing that grace to kick in, to do something for you which you alone can't do, because it's not flesh and blood, but then to find yourself at that time not prepared. And then now you want to go and try to get yourself prepared when it's not time to prepare anymore. It's time to display the token now. It's not time to apply the token anymore, because the season of applying the token has gone. And when that death angel came down at midnight there in Egypt, and then all of a sudden people started to realize, but hey, this really was serious, this message. This really was a prophet of God. This wasn't just somebody ranting and raving the way that people think that it was. This man did hear from God. And then when that death angel was coming down with these dark wings, like the prophet says, and then at that time you realize you made a mistake and you never took it seriously to apply the things that were said, you're not going to be a privileged kind of a person, because when it's time to display the token, you can't apply it anymore. Now, once the door is shut, the door is shut. And them that are holy are going to be holy still, and them that are filthy are going to be filthy still. And like in the days of Noah, no one could go out, no one could come in for 7 days. Now, You want to make sure that you're in before you get to that time.
Amen.
That's the most important thing. And what else can be more important, friends? Ever since I first heard this message, it was always the most important thing to me. It was more important than my reputation in my community. It was more important than my education. It was more important than silver and gold. The most important thing, I want to be where I'm supposed to be in Christ before the end comes. That's where I want to be. I want to be walking with God like Enoch. I want to be walking with God like Noah. I don't want it to be something that circumstances come and bump me on the head and take me unawares. And then I'm jumping up and down like the foolish virgin saying, but when am I going to get this oil? I'd rather, like the prophet says, let's get the thing sorted out now. Let's look in the book. Let's look in the prescription. Let's take the spiritual thermometer and be honest with ourselves where we are. And if we're not where we're supposed to be, it's not too late. It's not too late. Let's go to the great physician. Let's get the balm of Gilead. Let's apply what needs to be applied. Let's do what needs to be done. Let's do it once and for all and finish it up. Now, why prolong these things, friends, and risk? Jesus says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, why play with your soul? It's such a precious thing. And we've got to make sure that we're ready in these kind of hours, because the season that we're entering into now, God's program runs in cycles. It runs in a continuity. There's nothing new under the sun. The Bible says the things that are the things that have been. There's nothing new under the sun. So we want to just go back and look in the scriptures again to find out these seasons like we're living in now. What happened in the past? What comes next? And then if we can place ourselves in the scriptures, we go to the beginning of the Bible, we go to the middle of the Bible, then we'll have a very, very clear indication of what comes next to us now. And what does God expect of us? And then it's up to us what we're going to do with it. It's up to us what we're going to do with this Jesus called Christ. Because we've got Jesus on our hands at the end of this dispensation, just as much as had Jesus on their hands at the end of the Jewish dispensation. But what are we going to do with this Jesus called Christ? That's the big question we're going to have to ask ourselves at the end of the service. Now the prophet says in Jehovah Jireh, he says, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Is that right? He says, yes. The last sign they ever got before the fire fell. So before the burning of Sodom, we know it, just to help people that are new and to put it clear in our minds. God visited the people. Before the fire fell, God himself came down in a specific manifestation. He came down in the ministry of the Son of Man. That's our topic today, is the last days of the Son of Man. We want to see that we're living right in the last days of the ministry of the Son of Man. This ministry of the Son of Man has been unfolding itself in our generation. But now we're living in the last days of the Son of Man. And the last days of the Son of Man are critical junctures in time. These are times that many become offended. These are times that many fall away. These are times when the pressure comes on and there's a price to be paid for what you're claiming to believe. You know, that it's not just an easy ascent and we're all believers and stuff, but at the last days of the Son of Man, these aren't easy times that we're heading into. They're easy times if you're walking with Christ. But if you're not walking with Christ, these are troublous times that are coming. Troublous and testing times. The Bible calls this the hour of temptation. Let's read that. Let's read in Revelations. The hour of temptation. It's actually the prophecy concerning the Philadelphian age, that age before us. But the prophet says there's an overlap. God is speaking to the Philadelphian church age, giving them a promise, but it comes over into our age. Because those believers under Wesley and so forth, they never saw the fullness of it. Revelation 3 verse 10, Jesus says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. There's a condition there. Because you have kept the word of my patience. Because you've endured with the word. And friends, there's times when the word doesn't become popular in the world. Like when Jesus in his last days. There comes a time where the religious systems reject the word. There comes a time where the religious systems unite with the political systems against the word. Yes. then there comes a time where laws are enacted and things are done to come against the word, to silence the voice of the word. It always has to be like that. And that is what is called the hour of temptation. Now, Jesus is saying here, because thou hast kept the word, I will keep you. It's the same word. Because you've watched over the word, it means. You've done everything you can. You were diligent to keep that word. When the time comes, that word's going to keep you. But there's a condition. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So we're coming into a time now, there's a testing time. Because everything has to be tested, friends. Now our profession has to be tested. Our sincerity has to be tested. And the bride has to be tested. There's got to be a testing time to see who has kept the word of his patience. So the prophet says about the days of Sodom, he says, that last sign, as it moved into the time of temptation, he says, that was the last sign they got. He says, that was Abraham. And this is Abraham's seed. He has to give the seed the same thing he gave to Abraham. For the promise was both to Abraham and his seed after him. So this is a principle that the prophet uses so wonderfully so many times. Is that whatever happened to Abraham happens to his seed after him. Whatever we see happening in the life of Abraham, we'll find it happening to the natural seed of Abraham. It happens to the Jews as well. Whatever happened to the natural seed of Abraham, it happens to the royal seed of Abraham. It happens now to church Israel in the end as well. So what happened in the beginning there to Abraham, we're going to find the same thing happened when the Son of Man came, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to find the same thing happening again in our age. It's just because God has promised that these things will come upon the seed of Abraham. And we being the royal seed of Abraham, we can look back and see what happened to the father of the faith. And we can see the same process that God dealt with Abraham. And the same way that God's dealings with Abraham unfolded into a certain season and a certain hour, we'll be able to place where we are in time as well and see what's to come upon us. So, Abraham, let's go back and have a look at the revealing of the Son of Man in Abraham. Amen. Now we know that Abraham, the first thing that happened to him, he was called out of Babylon, out of Babel. Revelation 11 is the Tower of Babel. So first of all, God had to come down and separate this man and his family and take them out of Babel and bring them to the promised land. And the prophets, that was a type of Luther. That was a type of justification. The Babylonian captivity of the church in the Dark Ages. When mystery Babylon was in control of the Christian world, God came down now and spoke the word of justification and started this process of restoration by bringing Abraham out and taking him into a promised land. Things continued to unfold. God came now and confirmed the covenant to Abraham, and Abraham had to walk between the divided sacrifice, remember? And he saw a great furnace and so forth. And Abraham went through sanctification, the prophet says. Then finally, Abraham came, Genesis 17, to circumcision, which types the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which types Azusa Street. He had to come to that. And then the final stage of God's dealings with Abraham was in Genesis 18, which was now the ministry of the Son of Man. The Son of Man came down now in Genesis chapter 18. And like I say, just a revision at first. Genesis chapter 18 verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Friends, we've seen the appearing of the Lord. The prophet says, his appearing precedes his coming. He's come and he said shalom to his bride. We've seen his glorious appearing. He's appeared. He's come now, not in the literal body of Jesus Christ coming to step upon the earth. That only happens at the Mount of Olives. We're not going to see him like that. The prophecies run until right at the end. But we've seen the ministry of the Son of Man. We've seen the Son of Man himself come down in this age. That's what we've seen. So the Lord appeared unto him. And it says in verse 2, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent and bowed himself to the ground. And he said, my Lord, capital letter L. So Amen. Abraham discerned who he was dealing with in that day. Although this manifestation of Jehovah was veiled in flesh, because Jehovah came and ate and drank with Abraham and Sarah, although he was veiled, he was using mortality in a way to reveal himself. But Abraham discerned straight away who was behind that mortality. He realized this was the same one that had been dealing with him all the way, separating from Ur of the Chaldees. And this manifestation of God, this program of God, had unfolded itself down to the stage that God himself came down in this kind of a form in the ministry of the Son of Man. So Abram asks him if he wants to get some food and so forth, and he runs. And then verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Now, until the previous chapter, her name was Sarai. And it was Jehovah himself who came down and changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. So this one who came now immediately on the scene after that, he knew her name. He knew she's no more Sarai, she's Sarah. And that was just a confirmation that this was the manifestation of the Word. This was the Word made flesh. Because the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the attributes of the anointed Word. When the Logos himself, the Son of Man himself, comes down, he's the Word. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And wherever he is, there'll be that kind of a manifestation. Now, we know that Abraham and them were old, so forth. And verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. So God comes down with this word of promise. This was the word of his patience. The prophet says Abram had to wait patiently, faithfully for this word 25 years. But because Abraham had kept the word of God's patience, he had endured, he had stood faithful with the word. Though Lot had gone down, seemed to be succeeding down there in Sodom, and now the green valley is down there, and Lot had the big reputation sitting in the city gates. And it wasn't easy for Abraham to stay faithful and true to that word. But him and Sarah had stayed faithful and true to the word. But God had allowed them to become old and well stricken in age. That although before she had been barren, she hadn't brought forth, now it was even something beyond that. It wasn't just her fertility now, she was so old, she was so well stricken in age. There was no way in their current condition, though they were walking faithful to the word of his patience, the word of promise, there was no way in their physical condition that Abraham and Sarah could bring forth this promised son. Something was going to have to take place to put them into a condition so they could bring forth Isaac, the son of promise. God was going to have to visit them in a certain visitation right at the end. A specific type of a visitation. He was going to have to bring a sweep over them to change them now from being old and well stricken. You know the way the prophet dramatizes it with Abraham on his walking stick and saying, oh, Sarah, you know, we'll still have our child and that. Something had to come to change them while they were yet alive. To change them back so that they would be in a condition to manifest the promise. Now, God did that obviously there as a shadow and a type of our age. Because Abram and Sarah type them that are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord. Because we shall be changed, the Bible says. And this mortality shall put on immortality. So this first visitation, the first time the Son of Man came down, he came to the Abraham himself, and it was a prefigure of what he's going to do at the end. But he's showing here what he's going to do to those who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord. He's going to change us like he had to change them. But he had to bring them a specific visitation to bring about this change. And that's what he was promising there in verse 10. He says, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. That's why when the prophet spoke about, I'll ride this trail once again and so forth, it wasn't him physically doing that. There's got to come something, friends, to us. There's got to come a visitation to us, which we'll see in the scripture. Because now we're holding fast to the word of promise, but there's coming a season that there's going to come a super anointing to change us. into a condition that we can receive the promised son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we can't receive him in this body. We can't receive him in this cursed body. This is cursed. It's got to be swallowed up by immortality to put us in a condition that we can receive the promised son. So that's what it's prefiguring. That's why the prophet says, whatever happens to Abraham happens to his seed after him. You're going to find it in there. Now, this promise at first, when God is speaking to his prophet Abraham. Now, in our age, we had our prophet Branham. So God is putting it the same thing, trying to show us the world had their Graham. Six letters. We know the way that the things have been ordered by God in this day. But you find Sarah at first, she didn't catch this revelation. She wasn't in the spirit, in the channel of what was being spoken at all. Because when now he says, I'm going to return back, verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And straight away the word picked it up, though she laughed within herself. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? And then she came and called God a liar to his face. And she said, I didn't laugh. Amen. And the Lord said, you did laugh. Amen. And the prophet said he would have smitten her there. But he couldn't because she was part of Abraham. Amen. And it's the same as us as the bride, friends, with all of our foolishness, all of our divisions, all of our childishness and immaturity. He hasn't smitten us because we're part of Christ. Amen. That's why. He knows that the time's going to come, they're going to understand what it's all about. Amen. They're going to move into the channel the way that their type Sarah moved into the channel. They're going to receive this blessing. But at first, Abraham was receiving the full revelation. Typing Brother Branham. The prophet really knew what was going on. But friends, we didn't know what was going on. We only, it's dawning on us day by day what's going on. It's becoming more and more real inside of our souls. But there's got to come a final visitation. He says, I will return to you at the time of life. Now, let's look in Hebrews 11. Hold that scripture there. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 11. And just see the way that it speaks of it in the Bible. It's so nice the way that the Lord puts it. Paul, when he's overshadowed by the Holy Ghost to speak about the heroes of the faith. And he speaks now about Sarah in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 11. It's an 11:11, which is an interesting scripture. Because it's the 11th hour. Through faith. Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive. I went to look at that word. I heard somebody preach a long time back. That is the word dunamis, which is dynamite. That's where we get our word dynamite. This was a visitation of dynamic power. She had to, by faith, receive dynamite in her experience to come and change her. There came a time, friends, that which she had been believing, that which she had been storing up in her soul, something came down and something exploded inside of her. Amen. Something came down and God so quickened that she received strength now to conceive seed. Amen. So that was the visitation that the Lord was speaking about, is that God had to come back and visit her in a certain way. And the Son of Man visitation obviously came first. Back to Genesis 18, Sarah denied verse 15. Now, verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Now the ministry changes into the next stage. Verse 16, 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the things which I do? You see, the Lord's now going to unveil to Abraham the mysteries of his day. Going to unveil to Abraham the very things that he's going to do. You see, Abraham's ministry started off as a public ministry. There was a great deliverance ministry. Remember when the kings of Sodom were taken captive? And then God said, let me show this generation who I've got on the scene. And he sent Abraham with his 318 young men trained in his house. And they went clothed in the power of the message in a public manifestation. Right. And there was deliverance. And they delivered Lot and all of his family. They delivered all the people of the plain from the hands of those four kings against five, if you remember the story. And he brought every single one of them back. You see, it was a public display at first. God testified to what he was doing with that man in public. And it became a great public ministry. But then, always the ministry of the Son of Man, it's rejected. So it moved from being a public ministry, and it came down to being a private ministry now. And that's why the prophet, when the third pool vision came, was told, I'll meet you in there. It won't be a public display. You see, and that's what happened to Abraham. Now it's just Abraham and his little group on the hill. The rest of the people have experienced this delivering power of the ministry of Abraham, but they don't want to walk with Abraham. They don't want to pay the price. They've gone back into Sodom once again. And that's what the first and second pool did in our ages as well. It was a public demonstration, deliverance. God was showing his delivering power through the ministry of the prophet. But then there came a time of the present stage of the ministry where all the doors were closed. And as soon as that happened now, it moved into the next stage of the ministry, which the prophet moved into that channel to come and unveil now the seals and the trumpets and the vials and all of these things. But it wasn't a public display anymore. And the prophet says, this is that third pull. So once he moved into that stage, it wasn't an easy stage because everything had been closed. All the doors had been closed. So the Lord now comes and starts to reveal these things now to Abraham. And Abraham, he moves into the channel and he realizes the day that he's living in. Because the Lord is now showing him, Abraham, the cup of iniquity of the Amorites is full. I've heard the cry of Sodom. I've heard of the sins that have taken place in that valley. And I've come down to see. This was the time of the investigating judgment. Amen. This was the time that the Lord came, like the cloud was, investigating judgment. The judge of all the earth coming down with his angels to his prophet. Exactly what happened on Sunset Mountain. The judge coming to reveal himself as a judge. I've come down to see. And he doesn't have to do that, but God wants to show in terms that we can understand that he doesn't rashly judge. God doesn't just pour fire and brimstone straight onto Sodom and Gomorrah. He first comes down and says, Abraham, can you see? I'm going to go down and see for myself. Yet he is the Word and he knows all things. He doesn't have to do that. But he wants to show all generations that he's long-suffering, as he was in the days of Noah, that he's patient, that judgment is a strange work to him, like the Bible says. He doesn't delight in judgment. But friends, when iniquity reaches a certain pitch, reaches a certain level, the judge of all the earth has to do right. Amen. He has to judge with righteous judgment. And Abraham realized that. And Abraham knew down there is condemnation. The people are doomed, but there's my nephew Lot. So Abraham moves now under the token into the spirit of intercession. And he starts to make intercession. The Son of Man has come and given him access in that crucial hour. This is the last days of the Son of Man. This is just before the fire is about to fall on Sodom. This is when gross darkness is upon the people. And Abraham has access to God. And Abraham has a privileged position at that time that he can make intercession. Then he starts, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, if there's 40 righteous, and all the way down to 10, and there weren't even 10 righteous people in that great valley with all those towns and those cities, with all their full churches and all of their religion and whatever they had, God didn't even count 10 of them as righteous. And friends, that's what it came down to at the end of the ministry of the Son of Man the first time. That religion doesn't count for much, friends. It's how you stand with him. To know him is life. It's not to know about him, not to know all these other things. The prophet says, it's neology. That's the most important thing. He says, I may not know the book so well, but I'm sure glad I know the author. When that man said, you don't know the word, he says, but I know the author real well. And Abraham knew the author real well. And if you know the author real well, you're going to start understanding the book real well as well, which is really where the position that you desire to be. So it unfolded itself. So Abraham makes intercession now. And those angels go down there and they bring out Lot and say, depart, escape hither. No, we cannot bring judgment upon the place until you've fled from this place. And then the fire falls. And we know the prophet tells us when he was in the spirit choosing of a bride, he says, Sodom was sunk by an earthquake, is now at the bottom of the Dead Sea. There had to be that. That's what I was saying at Brother Tom's church last week. There had to be in this day the prophecy of the earthquake. There had to be in this day the prophecy of Los Angeles, because in that day, Sodom was right on the banks of the Dead Sea. That's right. And then came the great earthquake. And when they've excavated that place, underneath that whole valley there, there's bitumen, slime pits. The Bible says there's tar, like asphalt. And when the earth shook and the earth cracked open, that's where the fire and brimstone came from. And it rained down upon those cities, friends. And God sunk that godless city beneath the sea. That's why they're trying to find the ruins of it now and all these things which they're trying to do. But the prophet says it's beneath the Dead Sea. Just as much as Los Angeles is going to end there as well. Just as much as Capernaum had to end up there as well when the Son of Man prophesied about Capernaum in his day. Because it's to Abraham, to his natural seed, and to the spiritual seed of Abraham. It's going to unfold itself exactly the same way. And then the final thing that Abraham sees is what? He sees the fire, the burning of Sodom rising like a furnace. What is the final thing the prophet saw in the seven visions? I saw America as a smoking furnace. Destruction everywhere, smoke everywhere. It's the same thing. It has to be like that. That unfolds itself exactly the same way. So in that first coming of the Son of Man, as it entered into the last days of the Son of Man, it got tighter and tighter for Abraham. He was squeezed out. Abraham had to just worship himself with his group. There was no fellowship between him and anybody else. It was Lot that was down there getting himself all mixed up down there in Sodom. Like the people that were sending around this week, that video of what the Pope sent to Kenneth Copeland. That was another serious red light, friends. When the prophet speaks of the flashing red lights of his coming, that was a red light flashing once again. Because the prophet told us in God of this Evil Age, he says they'll all go into that council. He says, and the Pentecostals are sympathizing with it. He says, they'll all go in like a hog to their slaughter. And that's exactly what we see coming to pass. And the prophet says, you stay out of that, you children of the evening light. He says, you have nothing to do with that. Not to say that many of those people are nice people, but those systems, friends, are anointed for Armageddon. Those systems are anointed, bringing the people back together. Gathering them back to Rome, the prophet says, for the great burning of Sodom.
That's right.
You don't want to be part of that, friends. God has separated us by his grace as the royal seed of Abraham so that we can walk with him in this hour, so that we can wait for the fulfillment of our promise. So the second revealing of the Son of Man is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Son of Man himself. When he himself came down on the scene. And how did his ministry start? His ministry started the public ministry. He went out doing great healings, doing all the things that he did, prophesying, the first and second pull, the healings and the prophecy. He went everywhere. The great light shone in Galilee and the different things that were prophesied about. But then it started to move into the last days of the Son of Man. And things started to change. And let's go to Matthew 26 and let's try to see a little bit about how things started to change. And we want to just look at a few of these characters here so we can place ourselves today. Where do we find ourselves in the last days of the ministry of the Son of Man? So in Matthew chapter 26, look what started to happen. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus himself, as we saw at the prayer meeting on Wednesday, he knew exactly what was coming. Nothing took him unawares. He was walking in the channel in his day. He was the Word himself made flesh. He would continually tell his disciples, the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem. He's going to be betrayed into the hands of wicked men. They shall smite him. They shall crucify him. But he'll rise again on the third day. He knew exactly where things were moving into. And as we've seen it many times, Jesus started to feel the shadow of the cross even before he got there. And he would start feeling like marked in John chapter 12. Now is my soul troubled. Father, what shall I say? Save me from this hour. He knew what was coming. He knew the great hour of darkness was at hand. He knew it wasn't far off. And every step now on that final walk to Jerusalem, he knew it was one step closer. One step closer. And he knew there was darkness waiting for him. And he had to enter right into the midst of that darkness so that he could come out in the resurrection on the other side. In Matthew chapter 26, it's the plot now against Jesus. Look at it in verse 59. This is when Jesus is arrested. Verse 59, now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. Can you see there came a time that that same council that had been watching him all along, that same council that knew about him all the time, it was time now for the council to act. The council was now given jurisdiction, was now given authority, divine authority. Because nothing can happen to a believer without divine authority. Nothing could happen to Job unless the hedge of protection was taken away. Nothing can happen to us that same way. But there had to come that part of the ministry, and Jesus knew that it was coming, when the council now had to tighten up. And now it became an issue when things started to manifest themselves. All of the mechanics had been put in place. All of the things had been leading up to that hour. But now it came to the time that the council sought false witness. And friends, we're living in the age now of the false witnesses against the message. This is the stage that we've moved into now. The false witnesses. And what did they do? They brought people before and they said, this man said he'll tear down the temple and he'll build it up in 3 days. He didn't say it like that. Amen. It's the same as what the people do with the message now. They misquote the quotes. Amen. They don't say the things the way that the prophet said them. Amen. And they don't say it in the spirit that the prophet said them. Amen. When they came and they said that, they said, this man, we heard, he said he's going to tear down this temple. Jesus didn't. Jesus says, tear down this temple. Amen. And I'll raise it again in the third day. Amen. Speaking of his resurrection. But that's what the false witnesses do. And that's the season we're moving into. Friends, be very careful. Be very careful of the season that we're moving into. Because it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. And where did they find the real false witness? From the message. Brother Judas himself. That's where the real false witness against the ministry of the Son of Man rose up in the last days. Was a man that used to associate with the believers. Was a man that used to take sweet communion, the Bible says. Was a man that used to walk with Jesus, had part of that ministry. And then there came the apostasy. There came the season of darkness where there came the great falling away. When Judas now started to see apparent failings in the ministry, he started to see, but this man prophesied that, but we never found that recorded in history. We never found anything about the municipal bridge. You see what they're doing? They're taking those things back because we've got to move into the time of the false witnesses. Amen. And friends, these false witnesses now became public. Amen. The false testimony became public. Amen. Everybody started to know about the false prophecies, so-called, of this man called Jesus. And that is where the internet is a great blessing on one hand, but it's a great curse on the other hand. Because that's how the false witness goes around so quickly. Because they take things the prophet said, like I say, they don't take it in the spirit that he said it. That's what they've got Brother Donnie about now. When he took those quotes about mixed marriage and so forth. The prophet never said it that way. They're trying to make out that Brother Branham was a racialist, but the prophet was the furthest from a racialist you'll ever find. That's why he says, I love Africa. I want to go down to those colored people there. He says, I see those colored hands raised up to me. He says, I always felt that this ministry should be so well accepted. Yeah. But they don't bring those quotes, do they? They don't bring those quotes. They're very selective about what they bring. Exactly what they did to Jesus himself. They didn't bring all the good things Jesus said about give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. They never said those things. They said, this man wants to rise up against Rome. He wants to make himself a king. He never said that. He never said those things. They were taking the things that he said and they were twisting them and misrepresenting them. But it was the season for that. And there was an anointing that came on those things until it convinced the majority of the people that that was the truth. How many people didn't believe those things? Just the disciples. That's right. Amen. But the rest of the church world, the council, even to Pontius Pilate, to all the, when they united together with Rome at the end, there was a unanimity against this man. That this man, the Son of Man, this Jesus called Christ. Amen. And friends, this is where the ministry always has to move into. Amen. Every ministry has to unfold itself into that time. How far the Lord will allow it to go, I don't know, friends. The prophet didn't make it so clear. But he said there's coming a squeeze. There's coming a squeeze, friends. And it's going to be costly. You're going to have to pay a price to stand true to him just as much as it unfolded itself in that day. So these people come, the false witnesses. It says, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What it is that they witness against thee? And Jesus held his peace.
Amen.
That's what we do, friends.
Amen.
We don't fight against the system.
Amen.
We contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And when there comes a certain season like that, Jesus says, take no thought about what you shall say. Amen. It shall be given to you in that hour. Amen. He says, and it shall work out as a testimony.
Amen.
Against the Gentiles and so forth. That's why, friends, we don't have to go and try to defend all these things and fight. I don't believe that we should do that. Jesus didn't do that. What did Jesus say? He said, I taught openly. I wasn't ashamed of the things that I taught. Go and speak to the people that I taught. Let them say if I've taught these things. And friends, I think that's the best record.
Amen.
It's the life that you live, the testimony that you hold. Amen. Let God be the one who does the defending.
Amen.
Jesus didn't try to justify himself at that time or fight his own battles. He didn't have to do that.
Amen.
He knew the time had come. He knew the hour that he was living in. He knew where this was unfolding itself to. Because what was going to come next? The public shaming of the word.
Amen.
And friends, that's where we come into as well. The public humiliation of Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Go and look on the internet, friends. What are they doing to this ministry of the Son of Man in the end time?
Right.
It's a public shaming of it, friends. Right. It's a public humiliation, the things which they're putting on there.
Yeah.
And it's not true.
That's right.
The things aren't true. We as the disciples who know this Jesus called Christ, know these things are not true. This is a testimony of false witnesses. This is the testimony of Judas, the son of perdition.
Yes.
And like I said on Wednesday, Jesus said, the Son of Man goes just as is written of him. But woe unto the man that betrays him. It was
Amen.
Better that man was never born.
Amen.
And friends, these defectors and rejectors and all these critics and stuff, it was better for them they were never born.
Amen.
It was better, friends, to go back from the truth. One sister was telling me the other day, was visiting us, saying, those saints who rose up against Brother Biskel and them, and now they've gone and defected against him, they've gone back to the Baptist church. What are you doing? Where in the Bible did God ever tell people to go back? God never told a person to go back. How can you leave the message, go back to the Baptist church, and go and stand in front of the people and repent that you didn't believe in the Trinity? That's what they did. That's a shame, friends. That's like a dog to its vomit and a sow to its wallow, like the Bible says. How can you go back? If you don't agree with things, then say, Lord, where's your truth? But there's got to be something greater than what we've got if this isn't the truth, friends. God doesn't take us back. Back to the old systems again. That's the same spirit as in the wilderness. When the people said, let's make a captive and go back to Egypt. It's exactly the same spirit that's upon the people. But what causes it, friends? Because you love not the knowledge of the truth. God
Amen.
Gives you over to a strong delusion that you shall believe a lie and be damned by it.
Amen.
Better just to love the knowledge of the truth, friends. Stand with the truth. I was speaking to Brother Tommy about that. I said, hey, Brother Tom, I said, I've been in this message long enough that I know far more about this message than those same people who come and testify there. We know the message far better than those people. We know the real message. We know the spirit in this message. We know even when the prophet would come anointed with that spirit of Elijah and cry out against those things. How he would cry in the car with Billy Paul after saying, Billy Paul, I didn't want to hurt those people. I'm just trying to help the people. He says, it's a ministry given to me. He says, I don't even want it. He says, but it's delivered to me. The prophet wanted to be one with all the people, to be friendly. But friends, it was the ministry of the Son of Man. Just as much as Jesus had to come and whip them out of the temple. Jesus had to come and say, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. Whited sepulchres. Imagine. That was a strong message. full of dead men's bones and all corruption. Yet all beautiful on the outside. He says, you garnish the tombs of the prophets. Yet your fathers are the ones who put them there. Woe unto you. Everything will come upon this generation. Go and read what Jesus, the Son of Man, said in the last days of the Son of Man. It wasn't a message that had much good to say about that age. Just as much as the message of Laodicea to the seventh church age, there was nothing good to say about this age. You are miserable, naked, wretched, blind, and you don't know it. Friends, that's the ministry of the Son of Man. But if we want to be the popular guys, and we want everyone to pat us on the back, and we want everybody to love us, it's not going to be easy standing with this word. Especially when more and more of what you believe is going to be made public. That's what it came to in the ministry of Jesus. It came out before the whole council. And that's what they were looking for. Because they always wanted to shut his voice, silence his voice. That's what that was a conscience to them. They always wanted to silence that voice. That's what they wanted, friends. And the prophet says, they're going to close you down. Is there going to tack a sign on that door saying closed? That's where it's going to come to in the ministry of the Son of Man. And friends, that's why we need to be walking with him now. We need to be with him now. We need to be uniting with him now. You don't want to be waiting until then, friends. When one of these days you come here and there's going to be trouble. We never know what's going to take place, friends. But one of these days you might come here and there's going to be people asking us some questions. And we're going to be on trial just the same as the Son of Man was on trial himself. Because we're under the same ministry. We're under the same anointing. The world is under the same anointing. The powers of darkness of governing the nations of the earth. There's nothing new under the sun. What has been has already been. What is now has already been. There's nothing new under the sun. Look in Luke chapter 22. We just quoted this the other day, but look what Jesus said. Jesus knew exactly the time that he was entering into. In Luke chapter 22, and look what he calls it. Verse 53. Now we don't know. It could be another 5 years, could be another 10, could be another 20. It's not in our hands to know when, but friends, we just need to look at the signs of the times and just say, but hey, the way the economies are going, what's happening in Ukraine at the moment, the prophet told us, watch Russia, watch the king of the north. All of these things are taking, Israel finding oil and gas. The prophet says, when Russia comes down to get the oil, watch out then. You see all the things that are taking place. Everything's building, everything's moving into position. It could just trigger off and everything finish very quickly. We don't know. But friends, these things have to come. Because this is the way that it always finishes up. Luke 22, verse 53. Verse we read from 52. This is Jesus in Gethsemane when he was arrested. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Amen. It was the hour. And the hour has to come. Because there can be no resurrection without that hour. Because that hour always triggers off a resurrection. Amen. It's always the hour of darkness. It has to come. The prophet says when that council starts to tighten up, watch the third pull then. There's always that kind of a condition at that time. I'll just show you the meaning of this verse. I really went to say it was quite interesting. When Jesus said, this is your hour, that means this is your season. To everything there is a season, friends. There's a season of preaching the gospel, the missionary age. There was the season of Pentecost, the gifts of the Spirit. Then there came the season of the Son of Man. And then there came the last days of the season of the Son of Man. And that was called the hour of darkness. That's how the ministry of the Son of Man finished up, was under the ministry of darkness. And look how he says it. He says, this is your hour and the power of darkness. That word power is exousia, which means jurisdiction or authority. So authority and jurisdiction was now given to darkness. And it actually means when darkness becomes visible, and hold sway. They could never touch Jesus before that.
That's right.
They tried to take him before, he walked through their midst. They tried to throw him off the hill, he walked through their midst. They tried all manner of things, but it wasn't yet the hour of the power of darkness.
That's right.
But now came the time that Jesus was telling them it's going to come. The Son of Man's going to be betrayed. Betrayed, friends. The message is going to be betrayed.
Amen.
There's people from this message going to betray people in this message. That's what we're coming down to. Many are going to be offended, Jesus said. It's going to bring an offense. It already brings an offense. When someone disagrees with you and leaves, it brings an offense. It's not nice. But this is your hour. And the power of darkness. This is when that darkness that has been working behind the scenes, putting things in position, now is given authority to manifest itself. Like it was with the Jews before the Second World War. And darkness took over. And now came the hour of darkness upon him. And now authority was given to the darkness. The laws were passed. And the things, just because they were the children of God against the Jews, Hitler rose up. And now darkness manifest. Darkness became flesh and dwelt amongst them.
Amen.
And there was no escape for the people. And darkness was given legal authority. It is in control of the government systems, and passing of the laws. And what is the thing the prophet said in Uniting Sign and Time? He says the religious systems united first, and then they united with the government. They reunited with the Roman power. And friends, what's happening now? Look how the religious systems have been gathering. They've been gathering for the whole of this generation just about. But it's quickening pace. But the council has to be given authority.
Amen.
There's got to come the hour of darkness. They've got to have something which they can crack down on. But don't tell me that darkness isn't working now, friends. I know one sister, I won't mention her name, but her husband, he works in the military, and he said it to her. He said, they know everything about you. They know everything about you. And friends, I thought of it the other day. I said, what are we supposed to bear witness of? Now, we don't have to be foolish. We're not looking for trouble. But we need to be like Jesus. Just say, I taught openly.
Amen.
I taught openly, friends. We just have to keep teaching openly. That's what you've got to do. We can't shrink back and fear these kind of things. We can't do it, friends. We just teach openly like the Son of Man himself did when he was made flesh. Now, we don't go looking for trouble. We're not the zealots in that day who wanted to make war against Rome. We're not in that. We don't have that spirit. We want to be good, peace-abiding citizens as far as we possibly can.
Right.
We want to give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. We want to pay our taxes. If you're not paying your tax, you're a thief.
Right.
You're a thief. Right. If you're cheating the benefit system, you're a thief.
Right.
And no thief enters heaven.
Right.
Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Right. We want to obey the speed limits.
Yes.
As far as possible. Now we need to obey the speed limits, friends. We need to give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. We should be examples of what it is to be honest and upright at work. We should be the ones on time and who leave at the right time. We shouldn't be the ones stealing time from the company. We shouldn't be. We should be examples of that. And as long as the government keeps its position and doesn't try to take the place of God, we pray for the government. We respect the governments. We teach our children to respect the governments, to respect the authorities. But in the hour of darkness, the government starts now stepping onto holy ground. And the moment they start stepping onto holy ground, like it was in the book of Daniel, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was no hesitation in the choice which they made. No hesitation when they were threatened with the fiery furnace. That to say, we're not even going to give second thought, O king. Our God we serve is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't deliver us, we're not bowing down to this image. And Daniel, when the laws were passed, he knew the laws were passed. He didn't change anything. He just went and opened his windows like normal, prayed 3 times a day, and he allowed the darkness to catch him in the post of duty. And that's the best thing that we can do, friends. We don't become extreme and fanatics. That's why I read the quote on Wednesday when the people said to Brother Branham and the SEALs, should evangelists continue on the field? He says, just stay the way you are.
Amen.
He says, if you want to build the church, build a church. Rather be found Jesus finding you at that post of duty. That's what Jesus did. When the darkness came, he knew that darkness was coming. He took himself and his disciples to Gethsemane. Where he was wont to go, the Bible says, that's where he always went.
Amen.
But he just went and prayed with an intensity that he hadn't prayed before. And that's all that we need to do. If we're walking with God, we'll walk into that season with God.
Amen.
Yes, we need to tighten up. Lay aside some of the foolish things, friends.
That's right.
The prophet says all the church needs is a step closer and more of a consecrated life.
Amen.
Just to search yourself, is this really necessary? Is this foolish way I'm spending my time necessary? Or should I be spending more time with the Son of Man? To get myself united with the Son of Man. Because friends, that's what you're needing in this hour. We're not looking for any natural remedy, any natural escape. It's a spiritual escape. God has provided a way of escape. And that is what the ministry of the Son of Man will enfold itself down to. It'll stand on your behalf. The prophet says, watch the third pull then. Watch. The Son of Man will stand on your behalf because you were faithful. Because you kept the word of his patience as things were coming down. So that's now Luke 5, 22, 53. This is your hour and the power of darkness. Darkness in the Bible, the word darkness means ignorance respecting divine things. So if someone's in darkness, it means they're ignorant about the kingdom. They're strangers to the kingdom. They don't know about spiritual things. That's what gross darkness is now. They've taken the Bibles out of the schools. They've taken religion out of the public square. Darkness comes in. People are ignorant. Not our children and that by the grace of God. And some of these areas here, they still have a remnant of godliness. We thank God for that. But friends, go in a lot of places now. Darkness is upon the people. No knowledge of divine things. No knowledge of the kingdom of God. It means darkness means ignorance respecting divine things and human responsibility. People think they're just born here to eat, drink, and be merry, and then tomorrow we die. You're living in darkness, that kind of a life. The Bible says the woman who lives in sin, she's dead while she lives. She's a stranger to life. She's never met life, light. She's living in darkness. But the Bible says, arise and shine because your light has come. We're not living in darkness. We know the mind of God. We know what God wants us to do. We know what's coming upon this generation because we're the children of the light. We're walking in the light. And friends, we just need to keep walking in the light, putting our sins under the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we just keep walking with him. So this council really started to tighten up. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 26, verse 67. Matthew 26, 67. Look what came to with the Son of Man himself. Jesus. It says, then did they spit in his face. Friends, when you go and read what they're saying about this message, they're spitting on this message. They're spitting on this message, friends. That's what they're doing. When they go and they say things about the serpent seed and things about different things in the midst, they're spitting in the face of the Son of Man. Because the prophet never received these things himself.
Amen.
This unfolded from the pillar of fire, which is the Son of Man himself.
Amen.
So when the people are rejecting these things like that, spitting in the face of the word, what are they doing? Exactly what they did to the Son of Man then.
Yes.
They're spitting in the face of the Son of Man, friends. It's the same. It has to come down to that. They spit in his face and they buffeted him. What does it mean? They didn't treat him right. They buffeted him, friends. And others smote him with the palms of their hands. The prophet says you don't have to put a knife in someone's back to kill him. He says speak against someone and you kill their reputation. Speak lies about someone. You've got the same spirit upon you. And these people and the things that they're saying, friends, the things that they're doing exactly what their type told them they would do. Because the prophet says, you can't break your type. You will always fulfill your type. Jezebel fulfilled her type. Jezebel in our day will fulfill her type. And the bride will fulfill her type. Because we ordained unto such. Because all through the humiliation of the ministry of the Son of Man, the public shame, before the crucifixion itself, there were certain people who stayed true.
Amen.
Like John, who types the bride. John went with him into the judgment hall. At first, they were all offended, but then John quickly found himself again. And John was with him. And John was at the foot of the cross. And there was the three Marys were there as well. Friends, there'll always be those that'll be faithful in that kind of a time. And your type and mine is John. John, the beloved disciple, he was there with him through his humiliations. He was willing to stand with him in that day. Verse 68, what did they say to him? Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? exactly what they say in this day. If this man was a prophet, why did he say this? Why this, why that? What were they saying about Jesus? They didn't believe he was a prophet. They said, oh, this man says he's a prophet. They would smite him. They blindfold him, then hit him. Then they would say, tell us who prophesied, who hit you if you're a prophet. See what they're trying to do. The prophet says, Jesus never answered them a word. He says, you never answer back to the devil. You never answer back to the devil. Jesus was just quiet. But that's exactly what we're getting to, friends. They smite this message and then they try to say, this man's not a prophet. You see, they're trying to put the whole thing in question. Matthew 27, verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. All the chief priests and the elders of the people, the religious people. These aren't political people we're speaking about. These were the leaders of the church systems of the day. There were so much strangers to the Son of Man.
Amen.
They never knew the Son of Man.
Amen.
They were strangers to this Jesus called Christ. Though they were religious. Though they had their Bibles. Though they could speak about Moses and all his laws. But they were ignorant about the Son of Man.
Amen.
They didn't know the Son of Man himself. Friends, God has given you and I a great privilege. We know the Son of Man. He himself, he revealed himself through a Son of Man. But friends, we know the Son of Man. And that's the most important thing that you can do. Is sit at his feet and get to know him. The Son of Man himself. But these religious people, they didn't recognize who this man was. They didn't recognize what this ministry signified. Jesus' ministry, this ministry of the Son of Man signified the very end of the dispensation. That signified that that generation would see the end of all things. Titus came 40 years later, the Romans, and destroyed them all and their temple. He was a destroying angel that came following the ministry of the Son of Man. Just like there was the burning of Sodom, there was the burning of Jerusalem. And there's coming the burning of Sodom in this day. But they didn't recognize the significance of this ministry. They didn't recognize who this man was. He was too humble. He was too simple. Jesus himself. And they were so caught up in their religion and their traditions that they never recognized who he was. So what did they do, the council, once they condemned him? They didn't have power themselves to do anything beyond smiting and spit on him and speak evil of him and tell him that he's not a prophet. That's all they could do. What is the next thing? Verse 2. When they had bound him. That's what they're going to do to us, friends. They're going to bind us. They're ready with their laws binding us. Because there's certain things we're not allowed to preach anymore. Can you see? They're binding us. They're binding us. They're binding us. They bound him. And they led him away. What did they do? They delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the government.
Amen.
They brought the government to it now.
Amen.
The prophet says, we read it on Wednesday. If the devil can't get you on morals, money, woman, popularity, the government gets you every time.
Amen.
Every time. He says, go back to Moses. It was the government that got him. Daniel, the government got him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the government. Jeremiah, the prophet, the government got him. John the Baptist, beheaded by the government. Go through it. Jesus, crucified by the government. James the Greater, James the Less, put to death by the government. Go through the church ages. The government. The uniting of church and state. But it's the government that has the power to enact these things. And that's what the hour of darkness is. It's when these things come together.
Right.
And the prophet says it's going to be the government. The government gets you every time. But in their season. That's the hour of darkness. In their season. And they delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him. Friends. Imagine if that is your name. Judas, who had betrayed him. Friends, to betray. How cruel. He betrayed him with a kiss. He was the one who led the people to where he was. Like we said on Wednesday, it's the message believers like that. They know everything about the message. Judas knew exactly where they went to pray. He knew exactly what the Son of Man was doing. And he used that and took it to his advantage. And he led the authorities there. Woe unto such people, friends. Woe unto them. Imagine that being your adoption. Imagine you go through all the persecution, you go through all the trials, all the temptations, and then just to betray the Son of Man. Would you want that to be your lot? But why did Judas do it? The prophet says in present stage of the ministry about Demas and Paul, he said he saw some apparent failings in his ministry. You see, if you've got a seed of doubt, the devil will come in due season and so anoint that seed of doubt. And he'll confirm that doubt to you. Although there'll be no basis for your doubt. But the prophet says God allowed Paul's ministry to come to that to manifest the demon spirit, Demas spirit. He allowed Paul to get to the stage and he prayed for sick people and they weren't healed. And here he's traveling around with Luke, who's a doctor. And he says, Trophimus, have I left sick down in Miletus? And people are saying, but if this man is the great apostle that he used to be, how come he's traveling around with a doctor? And how come he's telling Timothy to drink wine for his stomach's sake? You see, it gets to that stage where things get low to manifest, to show who's who. And then there comes a great falling away. And that's what happened with Judas. He might have thought, no, this message, this man should proclaim himself king, whatever he thought that Jesus should be doing. But Jesus was living in a different dimension than Judas.
Amen.
And Jesus was doing exactly what's supposed to have been done. And it's so sad, the end of Judas, because he comes now, when he sees he's betrayed him and he's going to be put to death, and he realizes now what he's done. But it's too late. Like Esau, he sold his birthright. And he comes with the 30 pieces of silver, filthy lucre in his hand, having sold out the message of the hour for 30 pieces of silver. He comes with that to the temple. What does he do? He first comes to the Sanhedrin. He says, please, I betrayed innocent blood. They say, what's that to you? You go and see to that. Then he goes right through the temple. He goes right through the court of the Gentiles, right through the court of the woman. He comes as far as he can. And he takes that money and he throws it as far as he can into the holy place. Trying to make some sort of an atonement for what he's done. What a sad end. And then he goes and hangs himself. And the Bible says, cursed is he that hangs on a tree. And the rope breaks and he falls down and breaks himself open, as it says in the book of Acts. Yet the Bible said he had part of this ministry. He was numbered as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet says he didn't have an inferior ministry than the rest of the disciples. He had a ministry like that. But when the hour of darkness came, friends, he allowed those doubts. The devil to anoint those doubts. And he went in fellowship with the wrong people. He went in fellowship to those same critics of the message.
Amen.
And that's how he got himself in such a pitiful condition at the end. Friends, let's not fellowship with unfruitful deeds of darkness, the Bible says. Keep yourself away. Something that hinders you in your spiritual life, stay away from it.
Amen.
Stay away from it until you have spiritual power enough to overcome it. But why go and feed your doubts and things like that? It doesn't make sense. Look in Matthew 24. We'll just take a few more minutes. We'll close. Matthew 24 verse 9. Look what Jesus said. He's speaking about the end of his dispensation. This is what would come upon the disciples in that day. But it's so similar. Look how he warns them. Verse 9. He says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, like I said, I don't know how far it's going to go. The prophet says it'll be a squeeze, but he never told us the bride will be put to death. Christ will step in. We know that. But Jesus was speaking to those disciples, each of them who died, all of them except for John. But look at how he explains it, verse 10. Sorry, go back to verse 9 just to show. He says, you'll be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated. And there's an effect. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Can you see what it came to in that age? It wasn't easy, friends. Unless you really knew Christ yourself, it wasn't going to be easy to walk in those conditions. When brothers start betraying brothers and false accusations and all those things, people hating each other. And the devil always steps in, then comes the false prophets now to take advantage of the situation.
That's right.
He says, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And now's the time, friends, to make it right. Now's the time to make it sure. Let's just have a look at a couple of things that happened right at the end of his ministry. Matthew 27, verse 50. He now is crucified. We know that. They put him right, public crucifixion there. The government takes him. Verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice. The prophet says that's the voice of the resurrection. It says the same voice that cried to Lazarus, come forth. Amen. But Christ on the cross, right in the midst of that darkness, there came the voice of the resurrection. Right in the darkness. Verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent. The end of the dispensation. The Jewish dispensation came to an end. In the time of darkness. The veil was rent in twain. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Now came the earthquake. We're looking for the earthquake as well. To finish the dispensation. Because when the sixth seal opened, there was a great earthquake. That's the judgment seal. And what did it do? Verse 52. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. And went into the holy city. And appeared unto many. Our friends, it triggers the resurrection. Amen. To Abraham, it was a body change. In Jesus' day, it was a resurrection. In our day, it's both. Amen. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. It's like when Elijah came the first time, Brother Ram says, Elijah came doing miracles but not preaching. Then John came preaching and doing no miracles. Now we have Elijah and he both preached and did miracles. Everything heads up under this ministry of the Son of Man to the royal seed of Abraham. Everything comes to this hour, friends. That's what you're looking for coming to the resurrection. Now I'll read a couple of quotes to finish. Let's think of a couple of these people that were there in the last days of the ministry of the Son of Man. This is from the message, Remembering the Lord. He speaks about Herod. Because Pilate sent him to Herod. King Herod. And the Bible says when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. For he was desirous to see him for a long season because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. See what people will be like. The prophet says when that man Herod, when Jesus met him, Herod was presented with his only opportunity. Right at the end, in the last days of the Son of Man, this man was presented with an opportunity because the Son of Man came and stood right in front of him. Here came the anointed word, Jesus called Christ. And Herod, desiring to see, said, hey, maybe this man will do some miracles for me. That's the religious world of this day, friends. What do they want the Son of Man for? To really walk with him? No, they want him to come and do the miracles. That's what they want. The prophet says, if Herod would have only known that standing before him was the fulfillment of every prophet and the longing and thirst of the world. He didn't know who this was. Here was the message of the hour, Jesus himself, the fullness of the word. He didn't recognize you were standing in front before. But what a foolish thing that Herod did. When he stood before him and never asked him for grace and mercy. Never asked for pardoning of his sin. I don't think that man realized that standing before him was such a person. What a great mistake, friends. And so many people have these message books, they have these messages. And they don't realize what this is. Amen. That it's the ministry of the Son of Man. They come in a message church and they papa. They don't realize what it is. We are the final stage of the ministry of the Son of Man. Just as much as Sarah in her day was as well. We are the final stage, friends. The prophet fulfilled his part of the ministry of the Son of Man. The revealing of the Son of Man. And now it comes down to us. The prophet says, what a sad thing. For you notice he never asked him for mercy. He asked him to entertain him. Oh, I've heard you're a miracle worker. He asked for entertainment instead of mercy. What was the matter? Herod never gave it a serious thought. He never stopped to consider. And that's the way with the people today. They see something, but they don't stop long enough. And that's why I'm trying to preach this message today to certain people, to say, stop and consider what this means. This isn't just another church. This isn't just people trying this, that, and the other. This is a divine program, friends. In such simplicity. This is the unfolding of the ministry of the Son of Man. The unfolding of the ministry of the Son of Man. And each and every one of us are part of that same ministry, friends. We're part of that same ministry. He says, now, do you see what Herod will have to remember? He's speaking about Herod now, what he remembers. His grand opportunity, but he turned it down. And yonder, somewhere in the regions of the lost tonight, he's remembering what he did about it. But it's too late now. Don't let that be to us. This is our visitation time. Don't wait until some regions yonder in the damned, in that dimension where you cannot go into the presence of God and your time is up on earth. In the nightmare of horror, you'll remember you had your opportunity and you turned it away. He says, let the young people take notice. Let all take notice. Herod is alive and conscious today. In the regions of perpetual torment, remembering what he did about it. That's sobering, friends. He's conscious today. Pontius Pilate is conscious now while we're speaking. Down in the regions of the lost, he thought he could have the message presented to him. And he could wash his hands. And say, I'll have nothing to do with this righteous man. The prophet says, we've got Jesus on our hands. Then he preaches, what shall we do with this Jesus called Christ? He says, we've all got the blood of Christ on our hands. The only thing you can do, the only way we can come through this is apply it to your heart. You can't wash it off your hands. What about Judas today? What do you think Judas is thinking down there today? Of what he did with the ministry of the Son of Man. Down there in the regions of the lost. You can imagine what Judas is thinking. But friends, beyond the curtain of time, there's saints that are there. There's saints that are waiting there for the finishing of the ministry of the Son of Man. And they can remember very clearly what they did with the Son of Man. They can remember. John can remember. He says, I was there standing at the foot of the cross. And he said, John, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son. And he took Mary into his house from that day forth. Or Joseph of Arimathea, who was a secret believer. And then the hour of darkness came and they took Jesus' body and they would have done whatever with it. And Joseph now, he showed his true colors. And he came right into the midst of that government system and he said, please let me take that man's body. And he went and he took him and he laid him in his own tomb to fulfill scripture. Or what about Simon of Cyrene? In the last days of the Son of Man. A colored man from Africa. Christ couldn't carry his cross. The burden was too heavy for him to bear. And they caught that man and says, you carry this man's cross. And he carried his cross. And you go and read in the Bible, it says he was the father of Rufus and Alexander. And go to Romans chapter 16, Rufus and Alexander were two leaders in the early church. God so rewarded that man just for carrying that cross. He brought two of his sons into the message of the hour down the way. Now we'll finish with one. What about Barabbas? What about Barabbas in the last days of the Son of Man? They say, and I think it might be true, the cross that Jesus was crucified on was prepared for Barabbas. It wasn't meant for Jesus. It was meant for Barabbas. Barabbas was there in the prison cell, waiting his doom, friends. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He had been found guilty of sedition, causing an uprising against the government. And to the Romans, there was no compromise. He was condemned to be crucified. And there he was. And maybe he knew that his time was near. Maybe they came and told him in that prison cell, Barabbas, get yourself ready. Tomorrow you perish. We've already put the pole of the cross in the ground, waiting for you. And imagine Barabbas that night, thinking of his doom and thinking of that cruel death. And he wakes up in the morning, and it's early in the morning. And he hears this great cry coming from the governor's house, from Pilate's house. And he doesn't know what's going on, so he goes to his little window and he starts to listen, what's going on? And he hears the people shouting, Barabbas! He thinks the people are shouting my name. Why are they shouting my name? Why am I shouting them? And he doesn't hear because he's far away. And then Pilate says, what shall I do with this Jesus called Christ? They say, crucify him! And all Barabbas is hearing is, Barabbas! Crucify him! And he knows that he's doomed and his time is coming near. And then he hears the front door of the prison being opened and the keys going in the door. And he hears the footsteps of the soldiers coming down the corridor. And they come now to his door and they put the key in the door and they open it up. And maybe he's cowering in the back in the corner saying, let me try to defend myself. I don't want to die like this. And said, Barabbas, come with us. And said, I don't want to go. He says, Barabbas, you're free.
Amen.
Barabbas, you're free.
Amen.
And he says, how can I be free?
Hallelujah.
He says, because there's a man named Jesus.
Amen.
And he's going to take your cross.
Amen.
He's going to pay the price for you, friends.
Amen.
But let me tell you one thing, friends, about Barabbas. I don't think he appreciated what was done for him. I don't think he appreciated that that man called Jesus carried Barabbas' cross and died on it for him. He didn't appreciate what was done for him. And maybe he died in his sin. Because a pardon is not a pardon unless it's received as a pardon. What about the two thieves on the cross? In the very last hour of the ministry of the Son of Man. Friends, and they sing that song. It was worth the price to be crucified with the Christ. And that man was the last man in paradise. He was the last man in paradise. He was saved in that last hour. When the Son of Man was crucified for him. Friends, there's so many different examples that you can take. And you can place yourself there somewhere. What are you doing with the Son of Man? What think ye of this Jesus called Christ? If you've got doubts, friends, it's time to overcome them. If you're playing around with this message, I would say to you, my friend, why don't you get serious with these things? Because we're entering into a crucial hour. We've come through many things. We had the public ministry in our age, the healing ministry of the 1950s. Then the doors started to close. 1962, the prophet preaches present stage of the ministry. All doors have been closed. And the prophet says, but that's how it's got to be before the crowning time. And then it unfolded into the ministry of the revealing of the mysteries, the seals and so forth. And now, friends, the ministry of the Son of Man has unfolded itself down to our portion.
Amen.
That we to stand for him. As the world enters into the hour of darkness, we to stand for him.
Amen.
We to bear witness of him. We to be John, to be standing with the Son of Man. But I'll tell you one thing, my friend, you can't do it in your own strength. You've got to be anointed to do it. You've got to have the oil in the lamp, and that's what we've got to be doing now. If you don't have the oil in the lamp, don't trust in your own strength, because no man can stand in that time. Those disciples, when Jesus had warned them and says, watch and pray lest you enter temptation because your spirit is willing but your flesh is weak. And they went to sleep right in the midst of the hour of darkness, right when the betrayer and the Roman centurion and them were at hand. And they went to sleep right at that time because they thought they could do it in their own strength. And when the offense came and Jesus was arrested and they took him, and those disciples realized they didn't have it in them. They didn't have the something that needed to stand for them at that kind of a time so they could stand for him. Yet Jesus was anointed. He was walking in the channel. He knew exactly what was to come. He prayed up before the time. And he went straight into it. Knowing that beyond the sufferings was the glory. Beyond the sufferings was the resurrection. Beyond the sufferings there was coming the great earthquake. There was the end of the dispensation. There was the Old Testament saints coming forth from the grave. And he was going to lead them forth in great triumph. Friends, it's a sobering time. When you see these things happening in the message. Like I say, Brother Colin's grandson, when he went on television there in America, bringing up all the dirty laundry of the message. You remember last year, I don't know if the saints know, but it's there. It's all public display. They're still hanging the Son of Man up in front of the public. all these different things. It has to be like this. And it's not going to get better, friends. Because Paul says that day cannot come unless there come a great falling away first.
Amen.
A great falling away first. But friends, I would be persuaded of better things concerning us. Because Jesus says to his disciples, because you've stayed with me in my temptations, I appoint unto you a kingdom. He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Let's stand. Friends, all those generations before us that have gone before, they're conscious today. And I think the most important thing they're asking themselves is, what did I do with him? Why didn't I take my opportunity? Let it not be like it as we finish the service, friends. If you're not right with him, why not get right with him? You can sing for us, Richard. Let's sing that song that you were singing. Now's my time for consecration. That one, there.
There's a deep and inward hunger within my soul. God has promised in his word he'll make us whole. Well, it's time for it to happen. That huge portion of heaven it will make and bring to pass, that tremendous victory of the love divine. Oh, I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me, I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking, power that will bind the member of the poor ministry. Oh, power, a power that will bind the member of the poor ministry. Now it's my time for consecration. I must see a change in me. I will enter my secret closet and close the door behind me. I will keep the feast of unleavened bread with truth and sincerity. For I'm expecting Jehovah Jireh, my Lord, to meet with me. Oh, I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me, I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking. Power that will bind, that number up, the boom ministry. Oh, the power, power that will bind, that number up, the boom ministry. Lord, keep thy holy fire burning deep in my soul. Change me from glory unto glory, till thy image will be whole. Let's keep this holy convocation till we become a new creation. Oh, it's the message in you and me that will bring to pass that tremendous victory. Tired of trampling on this mountain. I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me, I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking. Power that will bind the member up and the pool ministry. A power, a power that will bind the member up and the pool ministry.
Let's sing one more. Let's sing that song, I Enter In, I Enter In. Don't you want to enter into the place that you're supposed to be in this age? To be walking with Him.
Oh, I enter the holies of holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only, Lord. I enter to honor I am, oh, Lord, I worship you. I worship, oh, Lord, I worship you, Lord, Lord, I worship. Worship you, Jesus. I worship you. For your name is holy. For your name is holy. For your name is holy, Elohim. For your name is holy. For your name. Oh, for your name is holy. Only you are holy, God. Blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you, oh, to worship you only, Lord. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. Oh, I worship you, Lord, I worship. Oh, Lord, I worship you, Lord, I worship you, I worship you, for your name is holy, for your name is holy, for your name is holy, God, for your name is holy.
Let
the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the light of your glory, the weight of your glory.
Let's bow our heads. I just want to give everybody an opportunity today. Before we come to prayer, the first thing I'd like to ask, is anybody here today and you don't have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? When you think of the future or you think of what's to come, there's an uneasiness inside of your soul. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. Maybe you've never made it personal. You've never identified yourself in His death. You never laid your hands by faith upon Him and seen Him suffering there and realized and accepted that it was for you. And today, you want to raise your hand to Him. Not to anybody else, but to Him, to say, Jesus, you were raised up on the cross for me. I raise my hand to you. I accept you today. I know that you died for me. If that's your desire, raise your hand to Him. You say, what difference does raising your hand make? There's so many times Just raising a hand makes a big difference, friends. It can break fetters if you've done it sincerely. It can bring Jesus on the scene if it's done from a genuine heart. It's not just a raising of a hand. It symbolizes that something took place inside of your soul that has moved you to do that. I'd also like to put it today, is anybody here? You want to raise your hand to him to say, Lord, take away my doubts. Take away my questionings and my doubts, Lord, and these things that torment me and these things that come, Lord. I want to prevail. I want to overcome in this greatest battle ever fought because I want to go forth the way that you went forth. I want to go forth in the vision. I want to go forth where things are clear. I want to know, Lord, Father, step by step what you expect of me. Lord, I want to be led and guided. I want the dove to lead the eagle. I want to go all the way. If that's your desire, raise your hand. And by raising your hand, you're saying to every other spirit of darkness, you're saying to every spirit that would anoint you, you're saying to everything that would whisper to you that you do not want to be associated with that thing, that you're putting up your hand and you're making a dividing line. And let it be like Aaron when he raised his hand and the death angel couldn't pass over him. Let it be like that upon this day. Whatever your desire before the Lord, why don't we come to a time of prayer today? Why don't we seek his face before we go? Let's remember Brother Eli once again. Let's remember the saints that aren't here. And whatever the needs that you have, let's pray for our church. Let's pray for the days that lay before. Let's pray for Brother Donnie and the saints that are there. I don't know exactly what's going on, but friends, these are trying times. Amen. And may the Lord help us as we enter step by step down this course that God has predestinated for us. May he be glorified is our desire. Let's all call upon his name in prayer. Father, bring in ourselves unto thee, Lord, upon this day, just as your people, and by your grace and by your mercy, and wanting to look unto Father, thee, Heavenly Father, Jesus, even upon this day, just wanting, Lord, just the weight of your glory to cover us, Lord, upon this day.
Jesus, direct us in all that we do. Guide us, Lord, show us. We give glory unto thee and praise unto thee to be glorified amongst all us.
Continue in worship, friends.
We need wisdom, we need power, true love for each other. We have had so many big and empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Take your people to a state of fruitful life. Restore your church again. Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hands, we pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth. You are living, glorious church. Not for temporary need, but to restore authority and power. Mighty rushing wind blowing, oh, touch your people once again. Lord, you see your tired servants, your broken wounded soldiers, oh, how much we need your precious healing hands. We need the power of the cross. That's the only source for us when we stand up facing final battle cry. Restore your church again. Oh, touch your people. Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hand.
we pray. May your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church. Not for temporary needs, no, but to restore authority and power. Let your mighty rushing wing rolling. Oh, touch your people once again.
Saints, let's come to the dedication. We're really glad to have Nathaniel Caleb Kwaku Bonsu Prempe with us. Amen. That's a serious, impressive name. So really happy for the Prempe family, for Brother Mike, Sister Gloria. The Lord gave them a little blessing. People are sometimes say, but does dedication make any difference? Friends, it makes a massive difference. You can't put something into the hands of the Lord and Him not be faithful. It doesn't mean it'll override somebody's human will down the way. But friends, as long as that will hasn't kicked in to go its own way, Christ is going to look after that baby. And even after somebody goes astray like the prodigal son, the Lord's going to follow after them where they go. You know, so it does work. You know, if you dedicate your car to the Lord, you dedicate your house. Remember the prophet when they were redoing the tabernacle? And he says they went and looked up in the rafters and they found that it had almost burned through. Remember? It says there was some old oil stove up there heating the place and it had almost burned through the rafters in the roof. And people says, we don't know what was keeping it up. Now that roof should have collapsed. No, when they went back and they dedicated that church in 1933, I think the Lord took that dedication seriously. And the Lord was watching over it. So it's a wonderful thing to dedicate. We don't baptize children. We put them into the hands of the Lord. We represent His hands. And just ask Him to take the little soul right from now and all the way through and to be a shepherd and a guide and a protector over that little child. So we ask the brother and sister to bring Nathaniel up and we'll be glad to dedicate him to the Lord.
Shepherd's voice I hear,
God bless me. Sister, God bless you, sister.
Calling the sheep who have gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away.
Father, we thank you that you are good, Lord. Father, in the midst of this age, Lord, and sometimes things are upside down. But Father, still you are good. Still you watch over your people. Father, still inside of yourself, how you desire to bless your people. And Father, you've blessed Brother Mike. You've blessed Sister Gloria, Lord. Father, with such a wonderful little boy. Lord, we think of Nathan in the Bible, Lord, and what a fearless man that he was. Lord, that he came and stood in the presence of a king and reproved him for the evil that he had done. Father, but how he went about it the right way, how we just pray for this little boy, that Father, Lord, the same spirit would be upon him. That Lord, if there'd be a tomorrow, that he'd be a fearless soldier of the cross, that he'd be somebody that would stand for you, even at school, Lord, wheresoever it would be. In this age, Lord, when you've been rejected, Lord, Father, there's always be people that will stand for you. Father, we do pray that you'll protect him along the way. So many diseases in this end time, Lord. So many sicknesses and viruses. And Father, there's the evil intent of men. Father, there's gross darkness upon many people. We read the stories, Lord, Father, of tragedy day by day. We see what the devil does. But Jesus, we just want to bring Nathan now, Nathaniel, and put him into your hands. And Lord Jesus, we know they're the safest of hands, Lord. And we know you said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And Lord, how we do bring him up unto thee upon this day. May your angels camp around him, Lord. May you watch over him right from this day forth until your return, Lord. May, Father, he be a testimony. May his parents many times look and say, but surely the Lord has been good to us through giving us such a boy as this. May you bless the parents, Lord. Continue to lead them and guide them, Lord. And bless their other children. You've given them a little boy into their home. What a blessing that it is. Father, how good you are to balance things up. How good you are to give us our heart's desire. We thank you for that, Lord. Father, bless the family, Lord. Father, guide their footsteps, Lord. Be in every decision that they make. Provide all of their needs. Protect them and deliver them as well, Lord. And be glorified in their midst. Father, now we bring this little boy to you, Father, who you've given to them. And we say, Jesus, take him in your hands. Keep him, Lord, we pray, until your return. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, brother. Amen. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother.
Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the little ones to Jesus.
Ask Brother David, he wouldn't mind coming to close for us in a word of prayer. Let's sing one more chorus of something, Brother George. We'll ask the brother to come. Please keep us in prayer, saints, as we travel this week. We really would appreciate it. We don't know what we're going into, where we go. So we'd really desire the grace of God to come back with a blessing and to be a blessing. So we'd really ask you, keep us in prayer the next 2 weekends as we'd be across. And may the Lord also instruct us and allow us to come back with some good things. The prophet says when he went to Israel, the Bible became a new book. Let it be so. That's my desire. I want to get down to the Temple Institute. I want to go and see what they're doing about the temple. Go and see Rabbi Richmond and those friends. What a wonderful opportunity. May the Lord go before. May he be in these things. Please keep us in prayer.
These are the days of Elijah, hearing the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice of the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice. Year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white as your word. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding from the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice. Year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. There is no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Behold, he comes,
riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice. It's year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads.
Yes, Lord.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we do approach thy throne of grace and of mercies, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Father God, your own prophet who you sent, Lord, as a blessing unto us, Lord, he said, Lord. Father, we could do too much of everything else, but we can never pray too much.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and how we love to pray and to call upon your name.
Amen.
Father, especially after you speak unto us, O God.
O Lord.
Heavenly Father, and we do though we are privileged people upon this day, but Lord, we humble ourselves before Thee. Lord. Father God, thankful for the blessing of Your word, Lord.
Amen.
And how we ask of Thee, Father. Lord, that let this word not be a curse unto us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, let it be a blessing in the way You intended it to be.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, realizing that this day that we've had in Your house, we'll never get another day like this.
Amen.
This day we'll not live it again.
Amen.
So Lord, it's another opportunity for us to hear, Lord, to hear Your cry, Lord, to hear Yes. Your beckoning unto us.
Amen.
And Father, how, Lord, it gives us confidence that if You bring us a word in due season,
oh, Lord,
You are mindful of us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we do know, as You said in Your word, O God, that Lord, as the rain falls from the sky and does not return back either.
Yes, Lord.
Father, You said, so shall it be with Your word, Lord,
Amen.
That it shall not return void.
Yes.
But it indeed, Lord, it will accomplish that which You sent it out to achieve.
Amen.
So, Lord, we just give our hearts unto Thee as a prepared ground.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
That, Lord, where there's need for tightening, Lord, we may tighten whilst the warning is there.
Amen.
Father God, where there's encouragement, Lord, we receive it in that same spirit.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Father God, You know each need of all of Your children upon this day.
Yes, Lord.
And we trust, O God, that, Lord, Father, even as we ask Thee before coming into Your house, that let us not return the same way we went in.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we know we're going out better armed, Lord, better prepared.
Amen.
Father God, walking more, Father God, more purposefully.
Yes.
Father, knowing that, Lord Jehovah God, Father, as You give Your word, You give as well, Lord, the anointing to love Your word.
Yes, Lord.
For You said it's not of he that willeth or he that runneth, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, You're the one who gives grace, Lord,
yes,
to walk in this race.
Amen.
Heavenly Father God, we're so thankful once again for the blessing of Your word.
Oh, Lord.
We're thankful, Lord, for the faithfulness of our minister, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, to stay humble, Lord, oh, Lord, that You may be able to use Him, Lord, to bless Your children upon this day.
Lord.
May You continue to bless in this way, oh God.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we want to ask of Thee, Father, even as we've come to the end of this time in Your house, Lord, of worship,
Amen.
Lord, and we'll go our separate ways. But Lord, may Your angel accompany us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Wherever we'd be in our homes, wherever we'd go, oh Lord.
Amen.
Father, may we be sensitive, Lord, realizing
yes,
that, Lord, the Holy Ghost, Lord, is sensitive, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In the things that we say, the things we fellowship about, Lord.
Amen.
May we be mindful, Lord. Father God, of the place where we've come from, that, Lord, the full blessing of Your word may be accomplished in us if we'll allow it to do that.
Amen.
So be with us, Lord. Give us traveling mercies as You
Amen.
Brought us here safe into Your house.
Yes.
Please lead us back. Clear the paths ahead for us, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Father, where Satan would come to try and work his works of evil.
Amen.
Oh God, may Your angels stand in the way, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, upon this day, Lord, we want to pray for those that were not here upon this day.
Amen.
Father God, just grant them unction where they would be, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Some because of work, Lord. Father, even we think of our brother Maxwell, Lord, and
Amen.
Sister Angel, Lord, they're in
yes.
Italy. Father, we're trusting, Lord, that as You were here with us, You were there with them as well.
Yes, Lord.
Father, bless him in his journey Amen. There and the business that he'd have there.
Amen.
Father, realizing as well that it's always about the Father's business.
Yes, Lord.
Grant him grace, Lord. Grant him, Father God, mercies, we pray. Father, and bring them back safely to us, Lord.
Please,
grant them
Lord.
Traveling mercies, we
Please,
pray.
Lord.
Heavenly Father, even as our pastor has put the request, oh, Lord. Lord, as him and Brother George would travel to Israel.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, how we'd all desire if it were possible to be going.
Amen.
But Father God, we know that, Lord, the footsteps Amen. Of the righteous are ordered of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So we Amen. Trust You ordained it to be this way.
Amen.
And Lord, Father God, we pray that You'd be with them in all their journey, oh Lord.
Please, Lord.
Heavenly Father, that, Lord, the blessings they had received there, when they'd come back, Lord, we too would be a part of their blessing
yes,
and receive
Lord,
their
yes,
blessing,
Lord,
O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Be merciful to them where they'd set their feet, O Lord.
Amen.
May You guide and lead them in everything which they'll say, everything which they'll do.
Please, Lord.
Father God, we ask as well that You just watch over and keep their families during
Amen.
The time that they're away.
Please, Lord.
Be merciful is our prayer, O
Please,
Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father God, at this time as well, we think of our brother, Brother Eli,
Amen.
Lord, and his family.
Yes.
Father God, we do Amen. Know, Lord, that separation is painful, O Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
So, Lord, we ask of Thee, Father. We as humans, Lord,
yes.
we can do our best to comfort, but we know that You are the great comforter.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, may You touch and help, Lord God, even in this time of need. Father, we know that when there's funerals, there's needs, Lord, that need to be met.
Amen.
Lord, we ask in you that you'd meet all the needs for our brother,
yes,
for his family, oh Lord.
Amen.
Father God, just be merciful to them at this
yes,
time.
Lord.
Heavenly Father God, as we depart and go separate ways, once again we do thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had.
Yes, Lord.
And give praise, glory, and honor unto thee. The precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless it.
I don't know why,
Jesus
loved me. Oh, I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory, oh, to bring to us redemption's story. Then he died, but he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Oh, where would I be? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Know why Jesus loved me. Oh, I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he